Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray this prayer in hymn number 16. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Hymn number 16. Everybody now.
Search me, O Lord.
It's our prayer this morning.
And know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Is another prayer, draw me nearer. I am dying, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. And he told thy love to me. Let it be our prayer. Thank you. everybody now.
I am dying, oh Lord. I have had thy voice and it's so I love you.
But
I love to rise,
either so fair.
Oh, I'd be closer to thee.
Lord, in
error. Oh, yes, Lord. That's our prayer.
Oh,
near a blessed Lord.
Amen. God bless you. May the Lord answer that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's be seated. Amen. Let's pick our Bibles, but be seated. Hallelujah. The attraction now is not power. Suddenly people now want to hear the word. Amen. How many people love to hear the word here? Amen. Praise the Lord. It is time to hear the word. And it's important we take the word seriously, because the word is the lamb. The word is the bearing. This Bible is our bearing from earth to glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to read a scripture. It's Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I read it from verse 1. I will also read chapter 5. Because we shall be jointly looking at chapter 4 and chapter 5. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elder seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Please take note of verse 7. Praise the Lord. The first beast was not a lion. It was like. That's what I want you to take note of. Because many of us, including myself, have often said that the first beast was a lion. Second beast was an ox. Third beast was face of a man. No, it was like. The fourth one was like a flying eagle. It was not a flying eagle, but like. I read it again, verse 7. And the fifth beast was like a lion. And the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they wrestled day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look, even to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Hallelujah. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That means billions of people. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to take note that we said there are two great mysteries. There are many mysteries in the Bible. Many mysteries. And each time we catch one, we bring it out. But two very important mysteries is the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness. And I've taken both as sermon topics and looked at them before. The mystery of iniquity produced the serpent seed. Hallelujah. And it is that same mystery of iniquity that produced mystery Babylon. Please, we are going into the deep things now, the Bible. So, I want your ears. And when you come to this Bible, we learn every day. Every day things are quickened to us. Every day. So please, listen. That is what makes the difference between the bride and the concubines. It's a knowledge of God's divine agenda that is revealed only to his bride. You can't talk of marrying a young girl, talking of marrying a man, and you don't know anything about the man. And yet you want to marry, and the day of wedding is coming nearer and nearer, and they are asking you, where is the man from? I don't know whether they say na Okigwe Abina Okija. They one of it, either Okije or Okigwe or Okija. Oki something, sha. You're not serious. You must know everything about him. That was what Eliezer's ministry was. From going to pick Rebecca for Isaac, a type of Jesus Christ. Rebecca, a type of the bride. It was a long journey, long enough for Eliezer to be telling her everything about Isaac. It's nothing more she got to know that she didn't know concerning Isaac, only to see his face remain. Until in the cool of the evening, anxious Isaac came out. Where will the bride come now? And while he was there, from far Rebecca saw a young man. He said, who be that man there? And Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, told her, that is the man I'm bringing you to. That is your husband. That was the last aspect of it, of the ministry. To reveal the son of man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because very soon we shall see him face to face. It will no longer be in the spirit. Face to face. Amen. And the only way we will be talking about him, get to know him, is through the Bible. And it's good you know the divine agenda. So that you are not just a church goer. We are passed over from being church members to Christians that are grounded in the world. I'm telling you, all of you online members that are so worried about church. Come and plant church now. We not get church now. We not get church now. Now it is no more church. It is a relationship with God. That is where the emphasis is. Church will come up automatically. It comes up on its own. But the first thing is you as an individual be established first with God. And you can never have a good relationship with God without knowing who he is and where he is in his agenda. Because when the Bible says, Ephesians 2:20, it says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. Church, that scripture means so much. If Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, I have stressed it several times, the church is in the building. He's building his house. The apostles laid the foundation. But whoever we build, there is a cornerstone. That cornerstone tells you when you are now to bend. Oh. Hallelujah. He is the one that will tell you, you don't be rich here, let's go this way now. If he said go this way and you are continuing, you will not build the right building. You have to catch that. It's the chief cornerstone. Amen. Therefore, have a relationship with him. Because this same Jesus that will tell you, he don't do. Oh yeah, let's go. And some people will see me here when the rapture will take place. But it will not be our portion. That's why we sing that song. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Bless in my hand the wonderful, oh, thou shalt unclasp, set me free. Oh, silently now I wait for thee. Already, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, spirit. Praise the Lord. What is the mystery of iniquity? The mystery of iniquity is how Satan took over mankind. Took over the inheritance of Adam. This whole earth belonged to Adam. But Satan went and collected it. How Satan planned, succeeded. ascended and took over this earth, took over every one of us, and reduced us to the condition that we are in now, is by a mystery known as the mystery of iniquity. And the mystery of iniquity is both spiritual and physical. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7, Apostle Paul said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Even in the church. Hallelujah. How did he succeed? The same way he succeeded and took over the whole earth. Took over the whole earth and reduced us to what we are today. It's the same way he has taken over the church. Using another mystery known as the mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is a product or continuation of the mystery of iniquity. Mystery Babylon. Tears have taken over. Now, the church that was planted, that was pure, look at what the church has been reduced to. Look at what the church has been reduced to. Craftily, he planted his people. Now, instead of Christ to rule his church, we have a laity, hierarchy, that is now ruling the church. Men have taken over rulership of the church. And very soon, forget it that they are all in denominations, small. Very soon, all of them will give all power to one man. One man from Rome. One man. He will now take over. For right now, he's bearing the title that is the one now instead of Christ, now me. That is his title. And he wears a crown. And he sits down on a throne at the altar in the temple. And people are worshiping and kissing him. That is a mystery that started small. And that is where it has reached today. It's a mystery. But you cannot defeat the purpose of God. To counter it, there is the mystery of godliness. It's to counter that. The mystery of iniquity gave necessity to the mystery of godliness. Praise the Lord. It's the mystery of godliness that produced the kinsman redeemer. Amen. That is what produces the kinsman redeemer. That culminates in the mystery of translation. And all that we see in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 is the demonstration spiritually about the kinsman redeemer. That is all we see. It is a redemption process. And I pray that God will cause somebody to understand this simple process. Yet it is hidden. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is hidden in a mystery. In a wisdom. It is God's own wisdom. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Even the hidden wisdom is a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." We are talking, verse 6 says, We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. There is a wisdom. Then we understand verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 23 and verse 24. Praise the Lord. It says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Where I'm going to is verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, this is what we preach. Christ, we preach Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. And I've had a big preacher trying to explain, teach about wisdom. And he says that if you want to have wisdom, then have Christ. Because Christ is the wisdom of God. And he's teaching wisdom to make money. Have Christ. The wisdom to multiply. Have Christ. One thing I observe about the denomination is that everything they see in the Bible is how to acquire earthly things. So that the real meaning of it, they will lose it. They don't take time to sit down to begin to get what does this mean. Are we preaching for people to become millionaires? Is that the reason Christ went to the cross on Calvary? So the wisdom of God to make money is in Christ. All the billionaires in the world, do they know Christ? Are they not making money? Is it by the wisdom of Christ? That is not the meaning of that. We are talking about the wisdom that God used to restore back Adam and all he lost. All that he lost, including his children and including the whole earth, that he lost. The wisdom that God used was Christ. Oh, glory be to God. That is the wisdom that he used. Because Christ is the kinsman redeemer. If they had known it, Satan would have protected Jesus Christ from being killed. If they had known who that Jesus is, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known. That's why he said the foolishness of God is wiser, wiser, wiser. What you think is foolish, you don't know it's great wisdom. Great wisdom. Praise the Lord. Because it is foolishness that the God of creation that can do all things will be preaching to a sinner as if he's begging you. The Holy Ghost will be, voice will be talking to you. You will be having experiences. Give your life to Christ now. As if he's powerless. He's begging you. And does that not sound as if God is weak? But it is a wisdom he's using. What is the wisdom? To give you choice. So that when he'll be judging you, you yourself, you'll have no excuse. That is the God we serve. People don't know that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you read the whole of the chapter, Leviticus chapter 25, you will see the law of Jubilee. And built in there, the law of redemption. But we get it clearer in the story of Boaz and Naomi in the book of Ruth. Can we open it? Let's understand. You have to get this so that you'll understand chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. Because that is exactly what was happening there. The book of Ruth is after the book of Judges. We all know the story. How Naomi left with her husband Elimelech to the land of Moab because there was famine in the land. Chapter 1, let's get the story there. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and had two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion, their two children, died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then the story goes that they heard that God had visited back Israel, and she had to go back, but she had the two wives of her two sons, Orpah and Ruth. And we know how she gave them opportunity to go back, but Ruth stayed with her mother-in-law. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will bury. I will not go back. And she stuck to Naomi. I think I've taken a sermon on that before. Now, but where I am going is that chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for you, for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Naomi was arranging Ruth for the next of kin, a relation of her husband, so that the man can take over. The man's name is Boaz, a very rich and wealthy man, so that he can take her. Because according to the law in Israel, because the children died without seed, Elimelech, who is related to Boaz, now has nothing to bear his name. No child. According to the law in Israel, the next of kin to Elimelech will take his wife and going into her to produce children that will bear the name of the departed relation. I think some Igbo land, they do them too for Igbo land. Eh? And they do them. Praise the Lord. You have the children, but they will not bear your name. They will bear the name of their the late husband. Praise the Lord. And that was what Naomi was seeking for Ruth. And let's go to chapter 4 now. Chapter 4. Verse 1. Let's read from verse 1. "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the king's man of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, 'Oh, because there is somebody else that was nearer than Boaz to Elimelech.'" So Boaz knew the law that he's not the one, unless that man that is nearer in relationship than Boaz, unless he turns it down before he, Boaz, can take that possession, can redeem it. So the man is the one he's referring to now. He said, "Hold, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took two men of the elders of the city. Boaz took witnesses. The process of redemption requires witnesses. And said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the king's man, "Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, by it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders, somebody shout elders. In the redemption process, the elders have to be there. And unto all the people, ye are witnesses. Somebody shout witnesses. There must be witnesses. And part of those witnesses are elders. Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech and all that was Shilon's and Malon's and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Malon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let the house, thy house, be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Praise the Lord. That is one example of redemption, the process of redemption. Another one is in Jeremiah chapter 32. Let's read it and I'll comment on it. Jeremiah chapter 32. Praise God. Let me still read it from verse 1 so that we get a complete picture. Jeremiah chapter 32. I'll just read it maybe up to verse 15 so that you catch the picture properly. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus said the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it, and Zedekiah king of Judah shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes, and he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, said the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. So, at the point we are reading now, this took place in Jeremiah chapter 25, when because of Israel's stubbornness, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He went to King Hezekiah. Zedekiah, thus said the Lord, because of your condition, listen, oh, he said, the king of the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, will come and scatter all of you, carry all of you to captivity. And the king got angry. So he put him in a prison in his courtyard. He was in that prison. Praise the Lord. Before the prophecy will come to pass, so Before the prophecy, that was the prophecy he prophesied that they would be in captivity for 70 years. The king got angry and locked him up in the prison. But Jeremiah was sure of the God that speaks to him. So it was while he was there that something happened. The next verse, 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, while he was inside that prison yard, behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anatoth. For the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamiel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anatoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Verse 9. And I bought the field of Hanamil, my uncle's son, that was in Anatoth, and weighed him the money, even 70 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it. He signed the deed of assignment, that is the evidence. He signed the book. And he sealed it and took witnesses. There must be witnesses. And weighed him the money in the balances. So, this is what he did. I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamiel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Praise the Lord. What did Jeremiah do? He is now in captivity, but he owned a piece of land. He knows that Nebuchadnezzar is coming to take them to captivity for 70 years. When he will come back, everybody will claim their land again. How will he identify that land belonged to him? After all these years, there is a sealed deed of assignment that was signed. He said they should put it in an earthen pot, a pot made of clay, because it will not rot him if you put anything there. It will be safe no matter how long. Oh, praise the Lord. So that after the captivity, he will come and possess his possession by that sealed deed of assignment. Because he had paid the price. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So number one, before you can qualify to redeem, before you redeem anything, praise God, the thing either belong to you or it belonged to your kinsman. For any reason, he lost it. And your kinsman is unable to have it back. For any reason. Then you, that you are next to him, in king, you are the next kinsman, you are next to him, related to him by blood, that you don't fall under the same condition like him, you now go to buy it back so that you can raise up praise the Lord, something again to his honor. Bring him back again to his honor. It first and foremost, hallelujah, the first qualification is that you must be related by blood. Bible students, I don't even have to break it down. No, you know where I am going. You know where I am going. Praise the Lord. Secondly, the person must not be in bondage. You must be free yourself. Somebody who is in bondage cannot redeem another person who is in bondage. Hallelujah. Number two, you must be willing. Hallelujah. You must be willing. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So here we are, for the purpose of salvation, Christ, the wisdom of God. Take note now. Adam lost his inheritance. Adam lost his inheritance to Satan. But there must be redemption. Who gave the earth to Adam? It's God. When Adam lost it, hallelujah, the judge of all, he lost the ownership of the earth, the authority of the earth. He lost it. And by that action, all the seed under him got into bondage, you and I. Listen to this statement. Praise the Lord. Listen to this statement. Christ did not come to redeem you and me. He came to redeem Adam's property. We are part of that property. I don't know whether you will understand me. Hallelujah. It's not you that fell. You did not sell yourself. It was Adam that sold all of us. Praise the Lord. And so he came to redeem Adam's property. But no human being was qualified to redeem. Hallelujah. But the person that will redeem Adam and his property must be related to Adam. They must have the same father. Praise the Lord. They must have the same father. Hallelujah. Take note, see the relationship between Christ and Adam. Number one, they have the same father. Number two, they don't have mother. Adam does not have mother. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I mean? Sorry. What I mean is, they did not come by sex. Sorry, that's what I mean. Adam did not come by sex. Hallelujah. Christ did not come by sex. The same way Adam was created by the Father. The Father came again and created another Adam. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's why Apostle Paul, by revelation in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you read it, let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. From verse 45. From verse 45. To verse 47, he says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So we have two Adams, the first Adam and the second, and the last Adam. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. Then he said in verse 47, The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, listen, I also want to stress something again. Contrary to what many of us have taught, the title deed that Adam possessed, what was it that entitled Adam to own this earth? What is it? It's in Genesis chapter 1. Let's read it. Let's read it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 26. And God said, after he created all that he created, the animals, created the vegetation and everything. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Let's take note again. See what was given to Adam. See, he is to have dominion. Dominion. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. So, God is the original landlord. He passed this earth. He owns this earth. He passed the earth to Adam and told him, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every hard-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth. He said, I have given you. And every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast on the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. That is the title deed. That is the deed of assignment. I'm going somewhere. That is the deed of assignment. That is the authority that Adam had. And as long as he had that authority, he was even the one naming the animals. And anything he called, that became the name. You are lion, bam. You are monkey, bam. You are this, bam. Hallelujah. And they all bow down to Adam. He will not run from a lion. He will not run from a snake. Mosquito cannot bite his master. Praise the Lord. He has full authority, including the fowls of the air. All that was given to him. Oh, glory be to God. Just imagine how we would have been now. Just imagine how we would have been now. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Adam sinned. But what we know took place in the Garden of Eden, staged by Satan so that he would take control. And what happened? The title passed to Satan. And Satan confirmed it. Go to Luke chapter 4. Go to Luke chapter 4, verse 5, 6, 7. See, the last temptation of Jesus Christ. This is the way Luke put it. The third temptation, verse 5. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Underline it. And he was not lying. Somebody said Satan is a liar. He's not a liar. If it doesn't belong to him, why did they do vigil? If it doesn't belong to him, why did they fear? Let me tell you. Amen. Do you know that Satan knows what to do to make you, as long as you worship him, he can give you anything on earth? You want to be a billionaire, he will give you the condition. Just serve him, you will become a billionaire. You want to be a billionaire, say it's very easy. Bring your mama head. Bring your wife womb. And you be, in fact, you just wake up, open door, you will see millions every morning. That's all. Just follow his condition and worship him, because he said everything has been delivered to him. Who delivered it to him? Adam. Adam delivered it to him. And so he's now in full control. Underline it, oh. Underline it. He says, hallelujah. He says, for that is delivered unto me. He said, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Whosoever I will, I give it. He said, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Somebody shout, Satan is a liar. Hey, do you know why? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because in his wisdom, that's what we can say. It's by a knowledge we say it's a liar. Hallelujah. When you are sure that you own a property and somebody is building on it, my learned colleagues, praise God. He said, Emeka? He said, this is his land. He has a title. Then he go there, he see somebody they build. He said, leave and make it build, finish. He's building. The lawyer knows, he knows he has the deed, he knows the certificate of occupancy. He has the original. Maybe he went and got a fake one somewhere. Or for any reason. He said, leave him to build. Let him build. Leave him. But he said, Emeka, you once told me, you say when you will be going to that land, you are not talking about the building, you are talking about your land. It is my land I want. Please take your building away. I need my land. Praise the Lord. So because we know in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, that is why I say Satan is a liar. As far as God was concerned, his purpose cannot be defeated. Hallelujah. When man fell, chapter 3, verse 15. That's the reason why I say, Satan, you are a liar. Hallelujah. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, serpent, and between thy seed and her seed. The seed, serpent, you have a seed. But the woman is also going to have a seed. Hallelujah. It shall bruise the head, and that shall bruise his heel. There will be fight. Oh, there will be fight. There is going to be fight. Because, and Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, Christ is that seed of the woman. Because Christ is not the seed of any man. He came by a virgin birth. That is why it's referred to as the seed of the woman. So immediately man fell, God already made provision for redemption. That's why we can say by that knowledge that Satan, you are a liar. You are tormenting me only but for a season. My kinsman is coming. My redeemer is coming. What happened? Job saw it. He saw it in a vision. And he professed it, said it boldly, that his redeemer, one day his redeemer will come. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.